This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
The 1990s were a golden age of greatness in the NBA.
I could never play for the Lakers.
Are you trying to beat them?
They're trying to beat them for years. I don't want to join them.
We never said, hey, me and Patrick, let's get together and try to stop Michael.
There are so many legends who were a part of the story of that era.
Every game, I said, I know he weak. That's who I'm going to go at today.
Coaching was a 24/7 thing for me. I never stopped thinking about it.
I never thought I wanted to coach.
I love him, baby.
That's what I'm talking about. I wonder if Ahmad ruled the world, who would he want to interview first? Me, that's who.
No, probably not.
It's Chris Carlin, Bart Scott on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline, where we are headed right now to welcome in that man. It is Ahmad Rashad, who joins us right now. Ahmad Inside on ESPN Plus, featuring some great interviews. You heard a couple of clips right there from Charles Barkley, Clyde Drexler, Patrick Ewing, on all different perspectives of the NBA in the 90s, and even kind of how it relates to now. Ahmad, it's Chris and Bart here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We appreciate the time. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. How are you guys doing? Thanks for having me on.
My pleasure, man. Now, you're back on the bike, right? Because, you know, you've been away for a little while, right? At least I'm assuming I haven't seen you. But I tell you what, man, I used to love all your work. You know how you know somebody's great? Right, when you have no idea what they did in their previous life, man. And growing up watching you was like, growing up watching you go, I didn't know how good of a football player you was. You was a bad man.
You know what's so horrible about that is when I stopped playing football, my goal was to do my next job so well that people would forget I played football.
Job
and now I regret it. Well, I have to tell people, my own kids, is like, hey, I played.
I was a four-time Pro Bowler, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't just a player. I was damn good.
Now, like, you have this new series, and, like, who are you most excited to, like, interview? Because it seems like you know everybody. I mean, your tree is long, right? But who are you excited to talk to?
You know, it's very hard because I do know all these guys, and each one of them had a different reason why I was excited to have them. Like Patrick Ewing, nobody's seen Patrick Ewing laugh. I mean, he had a nickname called, like, the Beast, and he had it for a reason because he was a beast. But he's a funny guy. And he's a wonderful, wonderful guy. And then Charles, you know, Charles is always going to be funny, but he's always, you know, he's truthful.
Right.
You know, he's going to come out and tell the truth. And then Clyde is probably the nicest gentleman that you ever want to meet ever in your life. And Gary Payton talks so much crap. I mean, you know, he's probably the best trash talker that ever lived. But then when you watch this interview, you see the fact that he talks about being a little upset that he was too harsh. Now, and he feels bad about some of the things he would have said to some of the people. And then now Pat Riley is one of the greatest coaches ever. You know, and I think you get a chance to see these guys in a different way. You know, I've seen them on TV and I've seen them talking, but it's hard. You can't bullshit me, you know, and we're going to just sit down and have a conversation. So I think you'll really enjoy it. You'll really enjoy seeing that side of these guys. And they're all great. They're all in the Basketball Hall of Fame. You know, it's a who's who.
And you talk about, you know, talking to these guys, I'm assuming that you know, interviewed them during their career, and now you get them looking at their life and looking back, right? Because it's always hard to kind of connect the dots looking forward, but now they can kind of connect the dots looking back, and now you're getting some different perspective. And how did you guys connect that way with your perspective on life and their new perspective of life and this new world that we live in and how it used to be when you guys were all kind of like young and crazy?
Well, you know, the good thing about it is we're all looking back, and I was going through the same thing that they went through because I did interview them back then. You know, I had known them since they became professional basketball players and did what they did. I was there and able to see that. So it was a lot of fun. You get to the point where if you're not careful as an athlete, you start looking at sports in the wrong way by saying how much it's changed and trying to adjust it. But you cannot compare errors. It's impossible. So people want to say that this guy was better than that guy. It's hard to say that because the eras are different. There are a few people that are so great they could have played in any era, and that's what these guys were. They were that kind of thing, but they had some funny stories. You know, Gary Payton tells a great story about Michael Jordan, and that's the other thing too. Each one of them The reason that they didn't win championships is because Michael Jordan and the Bulls. So they addressed that. And they addressed how good he was. And they addressed the fact that that was the reason that they didn't win championships, because they were always battling that guy. So it was, you know, it was kind of fun. It was a lot of fun. And like I said, that, you know, I didn't want it to be one of those sort of conversations where it starts with, when I played, you know, the moment you start saying that, you're too damn old.
Now, I know you don't want to compare eras, but I'm going to ask you to, all right? Michael Jordan, yeah. Space Jam, or LeBron Space Jam? Which one you got?
Oh, I haven't seen LeBron Space Jam, but I would think that Michael's probably better because I was in it.
The very familiar voice of Ahmad Rashad joining us on Chris Carlin, Bart Scott, Bart and Han here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus with us via the Goodyear Hotline. Ahmad inside on ESPN Plus with great interviews with Charles Barkley, Clyde, Patrick Ewing, Gary Payton, Pat Riley. Now, one clip that I really found interesting from Charles, there seems to be a little bit of anger from him, and tell me if I'm wrong, in the way that Jordan is almost viewed now, because the exact quote was, everybody acts like he swept everyone. Am I wrong on that?
I don't think there was anger there, but I think there was like I was saying it, you have to realize that they were some great players during that time.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, they won, but they didn't walk through everybody. You know, and that's just another way of saying that Jordan and the Bulls were really good. You know, we were great. We were great, but, you know, that team, they had a lock. And so I think that it's more of it's not that he was upset about it or anything. I think it's more of something you say that you cherish the fact that he realizes how good that team and that guy was.
Ahmad, you were in The Last Dance. You were interviewed for it. I'm just curious, your thoughts after watching the entire thing, and a couple of in particular instances we'll get to along those lines. First of all, Peyton was one of those guys that Michael pointed to as like, you know, he's what motivated me, because the smallest little thing was a slight, and in the Sonics loss to the Bulls, there was a smallest little thing with Gary Payton.
These guys, everybody looks for some sort of inspiration. They look for somebody to sort of maybe not speak to them in June at a park where you walk by them and you didn't say anything. Well, from then on, I'm going to wear you out when I play you. Everybody looks for that little, and Michael is the best at that. I mean, there's always a reason why he gets fired up against playing somebody, because maybe there was somebody that sort of didn't say the right thing or they said something else. And you find that Gary Payton does the same thing. Gary Payton went so far as to saying that if the guys on the court weren't inspiring, he looked at somebody in the stands, like somebody that had some funny clothes on in the stands, and he would go after that guy, you know, just to try to get himself fired up to play. So, you know, I think that most great athletes do that. If they say they don't, they're lying. I mean, even when I played, if I try to find something that I didn't like about the guy just to fire me up to play against him. Not that I was going to always not like him, but it would just help me get motivated to play against that person that particular time. And each one of these guys did the same thing.
You know, we do this thing around here, right, when we talk about most punchable face. You know, I was able to get Vince Carter to kind of say that Bruce Bourne had the most punchable face, a guy that, you know, just kind of got underneath his skin. You know, I wonder when you play, you guys would take the extra inch. You know what I mean? Guys hit after the whistle, things like that. Who did you play against that had the most punchable face?
I was always on the offense, so I wasn't paying no attention to what them guys said to me, but I used to stay on them from the time they stepped on the field all the way through. And I would be so nice. I'm just sorry that I just beat you on that last touchdown. And how can you cover me man to man? You better get some help over here. There's no way. I like you. You're a great dude. I mean, I kept it going the whole time, even to the point when I would flank out and we'd be by his bench. I would look to the bench and say, you think this guy gonna guard me? You know, and the guy would get so mad, you know, he'd get so mad and overplay and over everything, but it always worked.
See, baby face
you know, football's a little more emotional than any other sport. So it's easy to get under somebody's skin that is sort of, you know, trying to set up a point where he's going to make himself be large by beating you, which is not going to happen.
Ahmad Rashad with us. Ahmad inside on ESPN Plus, the new series with us here on Barton Hahn, joining us via the Goodyear Hotline. I got to get your take on Scottie Pippen's response since.
Oh, I knew that was coming.
Yeah, I mean, since The Last Dance, not even, I mean.
Do you know Scotty Ahmad?
I mean.
He's supposed to be my cousin. I'm trying to figure out. He's supposed to be my cousin. Just so you know, because my maiden name is Pippin, so all my life he's supposed to be my cousin. Can you get an answer for me? I need to know. I need some Ancestry.com or some DNA testing.
Are you a little upset that he's calling you his cousin these days?
Yeah. Maybe you don't want to find out the answer.
I want some free bourbon.
Yeah. he needs to lay off that free bourbon.
What's your take on all of it, Ahmad? I mean, I thought he really hurt himself in The Last Dance. When they're talking about taking himself out of the game with the Tony Kukoc spot, and he said, yeah, I'd do it again.
That bothered me so much. I mean, and I've had conversations with him about that in time, you know, and it's just, I mean, because everybody wants to forgive. I mean, people are just like that. But to go back and have an opportunity to do that and then say, I'd do it again, there's something wrong.
Yeah.
That's not right.
Well, what do you make of his comments recently?
I don't know. I don't understand them. I don't, you know, Phil Jackson is not a racist. I mean, that's the most far out thing I've ever heard. But I guess if you're trying to sell a book, it might be, maybe you want to say kind of crazy stuff like that for people to go buy the book. I'm not sure, because none of it's making sense. It's like, I just don't get it. I don't get it. But like I said, he's writing a book, and maybe that'll be some kind of thing where there'll be a lot of people buy the book. I'm not sure. Doesn't sound like Scotty. It don't sound like the Scotty I know.
Now, just from a basketball standpoint, is he maybe like one of the most underappreciated superstars or top 50 players of all time? Is he one of the most disrespected because what he did, especially back then, the intangibles really can't be quantified in numbers?
Well, I think that you had an opportunity. I mean, even along the lines where he said that Michael had been there and Michael had left and it was his turn. So what happened to his career after Michael left?
Right.
Did he win at Portland? Did he win at Houston? What happened after that? I mean, if that was your turn to stand up and be that guy, then you had an opportunity to be that guy.
Last one, Ahmad. If you had the choice to take one player, and it may be an obvious answer, but I'm asking anyway. One player from this generation and put him back in the 90s to see him thrive that you would believe would really thrive in that more physical type of league, who would it be?
LeBron James.
Yeah, I figured.
LeBron James.
I had to
LeBron
take a
James
shot anyway.
Could play in any era.
Yeah.
He could play in any era. He's a great, great basketball player.
I thought you would have took Joel Embiid so he can be out there at the three-point line with Kevin Duckworth in space.
Well, you know, back in those days, the center had to play center.
<All right. laughs>
Now they don't play center. He's a guard. Mm-hmm. He's a forward. He ain't a
center. He's a stretch. We call it a stretch five now, right? He's a point center.
Yeah. Back in those days, he'd have been playing against Pat Ewing.
Now, when you look at a guy like Joel Embiid, like, can you appreciate his skill set? Because it seems like he's a marriage of, like, Patrick, and I see some Akeem in him. And he can get down in the post, like, what's the appreciation for his game? Because you've been around all the great basketball players. What's your appreciation for his skill set?
He is one of the most talented people that I've ever seen on a basketball court. The most, he can do everything. I was in South Africa a couple years ago watching him play in an All-Star game. He played every position out there on the court. I just would like to see him have just a little more dog in him. You know, when you're that good, you have to will the team to win. You got to will. You're one of the greatest players to ever play. But you got to have a little dog. You just got to have a little dog that you can't handle losing. Losing has to be, you know, hurting more than winning helps. You know, it's one of those kinds of things. You figure you're gonna win all the time, but losing, you can't deal with losing. You got to do something to not lose, and he has the ability to do that. And I think that now he's got Doc Rivers there. It's going to get better because Doc's going to try to get that out of him.
Ahmad, awesome stuff. Ahmad Inside, looking forward to seeing it on ESPN+. Thanks for a few minutes.
All right, thanks, guys. I enjoyed talking to you guys.
Absolutely.
Likewise.
Ahmad Rashad, a very familiar voice. And, of course, you know, when he's going to get these interviews, he's going to get these guys, and he's going to get them to tell stories that you've never heard before, and that's kind of what I'm looking forward to in hearing this. And like
he's
I said,
he's a friend, right? So yeah. They're going to let the guard down because, they, like you said, you can't BS him. He's such a
but he can sneaky get what you want, exactly. And that's why he's so good at it. The one thing I'd say though is like the thing I said about the Barkley clip, like Chuck seemed like he was annoyed by that, like. You know, and you know, you heard Ahmad's answer about it. Chuck seemed like he was annoyed that everybody thinks about Jordan in the 90s, but they don't think about any of the other great players.
Yeah, because not Jordan and everybody else.
And he didn't roll through all of us, by the way.
The only one that kind of gets that respect that was in that Jordan era is Magic, right? Because he seemed to be the placeholder.
And Magic got his
baton
before him.
Right, and Magic handed the baton over to him. But those that played in this era, they don't get the respect. I mean, like I said, Isaiah Thomas got two, and he held them all for a pretty long time, right? You think about Larry Legend and what he was able to do, right? You know, I think sometimes people kind of forget the journey that Michael had to take, right? Because we hear the rings, but we don't know that the disappointments that he had. At some point, he was Giannis, right? He was the guy that was considered the best in the game that couldn't get it done until he could.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Chris Carlin, Bart Scott on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, brought to you by Progressive Insurance. And all guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. We're taking your calls, NBA Finals, and whether or not this is Chris Paul's fault or Drew Holiday's excellence that has gotten him here. I am erring more on the Chris Paul's fault side. And Dame Lillard and his latest comments and exactly where those are going to find him moving forward. And, you know, look, you've got game six tomorrow night. And if you're the Suns and you're in this position, Bart, and Chris Paul is in that same kind of scenario that we saw in the second quarter where your team's getting run off the court.
Yeah.
Monty Williams is going to have a tough decision to make. In a couple of spots in this game, because
are you calling for pain?
What I'm calling for is making sure that the ball moves around the court because it wasn't the other night, and that's what killed him.
So I'm gonna look in the camera right now. Mm-hmm. You got any predictions? Pain, but not Clubber Lane pain. Camera pain, baby.
Yaw in New York is up next. Yaw, what's going on? You're on Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Hey, guys, thanks for having me. I actually have sort of a different take. It's not Drew Holiday or Chris Paul we should be focusing on. It's Mike Budenholzer and Monty Williams. So get this. Giannis, he's averaging 30, 10, and 5. The first ever on 60% field goals. He's the first ever person to do that in the finals, right? He's going to get his numbers no matter what. So why double-team him? The person you have to focus on is Chris Middleton, because if you focus on him, he's the X factor. If you X out Chris Middleton, you are going to win game six. And when you look at the other side, the Bucks don't mind Devin Booker getting 40 points.
But it's not like Holiday's been bad offensively. Holiday's been pretty darn good offensively, too. And you can't let Giannis go for 60.
Well,
you have to focus on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, to your point. To your point, I understand what you're saying, right? Because Devin Booker is getting his. So if you let, you know, like it's like teams used to play Jordan. You can't let the others get confidence because you know that you can take Giannis out of the game. I wonder if they go to a hack of Giannis, right? Don't let him get that momentum. Don't let him get dunks. You know, just take the fouls, right? The problem is they don't have any bigs because Sarge is hurt. So they don't have anybody, what is it, Kaminsky or whatever his name is. Mm-hmm. You can't count on him because then he's going to be barbecue chicken on the other side.
I have to be honest. Sarge is missing more than I anticipated he would be.
Yeah, because he's a guy that stretches the court as well. So he takes a guy like Giannis away from the court when they decide to go big or when the Bucks decide to go small. He takes him away because he's a three-point threat. So now you lose rim protection, especially if you don't have Brooke Lopez there. So they have to figure out I'll go to the hack of Giannis, especially in pivotal times when they're getting on a run.
What really impressed me the other night is he misses those free throws. And he still makes the huge play that...
Yeah, that's because he knew he was going to miss it.
No, I know, but like I'm talking about down the other end of the floor. I mean, that on the alley-oop part, that's a dunk that... I mean, who else on the planet can make that right now?
Yeah, I can only think of maybe a couple of guys in this current area. Maybe one has to be Anthony Davis is one of them.
That's about it. And it's amazing to think that's the case. It's Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Has all the management stuff... Turn the dream of building your own law practice into a nightmare. Take charge with Lexicon Practice Management Software and Services. Visit lexiconservices.com/intersection. There are NFL questions that we need to discuss.
That's so happened to be my specialty.
And we hear from Dame Lillard as well, in his own words, what matters. It's all on the way. Chris Carlin, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, and ESPN Plus.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Han.
You do not care.
Remix!
You do not care, and sorry, I respect that about you.
Yo, I said that go hard, man.
Listen,
I feel like I'm in the mood for, if we got another break, maybe I want to come out with some, yeah, some go cute. This is Q-Tip, right?
Yeah.
Oh, Mr. Cheeks. Oh, Mr. Cheeks interviewed me, man. Tried to get me to invest in some cryptocurrency. Had me nervous. Like, hey, brother, no, man. You better go ask Renee.
I want to spend just like 3 days following you with the way your phone rings, and just like with a little, you know, little iPhone with those, one of those little gimbals, yeah. 3 days in the life.
Mr. Cheek hosts some type of digital show or something, but he was trying to talk about some cryptocurrency, man. Like, it wasn't Deutsche or nothing like that. I'm like, hey, man, can I trust you? Yeah, man, don't worry about it. It's protected. Like, yeah, no.
Did you catch, by the way, when you said, isn't this Q-Tip? And I'm like, yeah. Of course it is. Of course it is. Bart and Han brought to you by Credit Karma Money. Make a purchase with your Credit Karma Money debit card now through July 23rd and be automatically entered to win $1 million. Go to creditkarma.com/winmoney to sign up for free. creditkarma.com/winmoney. Chris Carlin, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, and ESPN Plus on Bart and Han. Audio files, let's do it. Let's get some NFL, because we are right around the corner from camp opening up. Cam Newton on KJZ late last week, and this is worth listening to because, as we know, every indication is he's going to be the guy, but Cam has to meet those expectations.
It's not even about, you know, testing or doing certain things. It's just knowing it's a standard, right? And, you know, for me, you know, the Patriots organization has been, you know, impeccable, you know, with the, also with the addition of, you know, Patricia, you know, he's been great as well. You know, just so my time has been there, it's just been, you know, everything I could have asked for. You know, is, I guess it's now, you know, time for me to uphold my end of the bargain through and through, and, you know, doing everything that I know I'm capable of doing and staying all in my wheelhouse. So I think that's what it comes down to, you know, as far as the expectations from, you know, what I've expected from Bill and, you know, Josh and those guys. They've been excellent, and, you know, we're just going to keep pushing forward.
Bart? Mac Jones is starting by week 8.
I got week 14.
That late? Right?
Yeah, week 14. That's a bye week after they play the Buffalo Bills. Mm. And listen, this isn't about how good Cam is playing. This is about how good the team looks and understanding that maybe Mac Jones can offer something that Cam can't do and never have been able to do in his career, and that's throw the ball on time and it's throw it accurately. Because you think about a guy like Josh McDaniels, he believes that he can scheme up the right plays. He just needs it executed. And Cam last year was skipping footballs. And Cam is in this, you know, weird intersection of his career. Either he's going to either show us and prove us all wrong, or he's going to go down. So either he's going to be Kurt Warner with the Giants, or he's going to be Michael Vick, you know, the couple of post-Philly days where he was never a starter ever again. But Cam understands that $3.5 million, one, he doesn't want to make that little amount of money anymore. But this is just really a gap year for him to prove that he still can be a starter in his league.
Yeah, I don't know that he can, though. That's where I'm coming from.
Well, here's the thing. If he can't do it this year, then he'll never be able to do it because he has arguably the best offensive line, a great coach, a great defense. But so that's what I'm saying.
And they've spent a ton of money.
Buyers beware, though, right? Because you know, he can be on that list with Scott Mitchell. He can be on that list with Sam Bradford, guys who have played and show people glimpses, and people get fooled by him because they don't realize the things around him that contributed to his success. And you thinking as an organization that you can duplicate it when you can't.
Mike Tannenbaum checking in, ESPN NFL front office insider on one AFC North quarterback who will end up in Canton one day, but maybe a bumpy road on the way out.
He's going to be bad, and I expect him to be benched by the middle of the season, and here's why.
Wow.
When I was at the Jets and the Dolphins, Ben Roethlisberger was a big physical, could get the ball down the field quarterback. He's had a great career. It's over. They're paying Ben Roethlisberger for what he used to do, not what he's going to do in the future. And those three other quarterbacks in the AFC North are getting better. He's getting older, and that's a big problem for the Steelers long term.
I understand that the answer is not there, but I'm a Steelers fan. You know this.
Yeah.
I'm done with Ben. It's over, and it has been over. And if you needed to be convinced, all you needed to do was watch the playoff game against the Browns.
But here's the thing. Right?
Yeah, I know it's Dwayne Haskins, and Mason Rudolph. Yeah, the answer isn't
Mason
that there.
Mason Rudolph, Dobbs, but this is the thing, right? Tannenbaum needs to understand it. This was a man, listen, everybody knows I'm one of the biggest haters, and I absolutely hate the Steelers because they stopped me not once, but twice from going to the Super Bowl.
Yes, they did.
Not play the Super Bowl, right?
Yikes.
So
yes,
if anybody's going to give you a slice of honesty pie, is going to be me. Big Ben is fine. And Big Ben led this team to 11-0 record, but he had to do too much. And at this point, Big Ben can't be asked to do too much. Right, you mean to tell me?
That's why Najee Harris is here.
Right, you mean to tell me when you look at Ben Roethlisberger, he reminds you of Peyton Manning the year they won the Super Bowl? The Denver Broncos won a Super Bowl with Peyton Manning or his representative, the person that used to formerly
Von
known
Miller
as
won
Peyton,
a Super Bowl.
My point.
Yeah.
So when you look at that, T.J. Watt is every bit the pass rusher as Von Miller hitting his prime. You think about Minkah Fitzpatrick. They have a great defense on that side of the ball. And for everybody that's ever talked anything about the Steelers, listen, I know one thing about the Steelers and I had to witness firsthand. It don't matter who they lose. You have no idea. This is one of the greatest teams in developing talent for all the people that say, oh, well, they're not going to be anything because Alan Faneca left. Well, they put Willie Colon there, right? Well, Willie Colon left. Oh, they got DeCastro. Like, okay, Jason Gildon leaves. Okay, well. We'll go out and get Joey Porter. Joey Porter leaves. Okay, we'll go Lamar Whitley, and we'll get James Harrison. James Harrison leaves. T.J. Watt. It doesn't matter with them, right? Okay, Santonio Holmes leaves. Okay, Plesko Burns leaves. It doesn't matter. When you have a program. It
matters who the quarterback is.
Listen, twice. Once a man, twice a baby is what I've been saying all day, right? And he's back to being a baby, but he's not an infant, right? So when I say that, I'm talking about the quarterback's ability to lead a team and be the main
car.
So he's no different. He's Chris Paul right now. Yeah, he can't carry the team by itself. That's why Devin Booker has to be Najee Harris.
I'll tell you what, if they have that problem of getting to the Super Bowl and somebody else has to carry him, like Peyton Manning, great.
I don't think
he's going to get him.
You know why Ben got wore out? Because he's throwing the damn ball 50 times a game.
I understand.
Because they couldn't run the ball. So now you got a strong running game that you're going to be able to run behind. You got Benny Snell behind him to make sure that you got 30 to 35 good runs a game, right? They're going to win ugly like they used to be, the same way that they're trying to win in New England, right? Cam Newton don't have more left than Ben Roethlisberger.
I think it's over.
11-0.
I know.
Nobody was saying anything about Ben until they went on that losing streak. They went on that losing streak, one, probably because he wasn't healthy, and two, because his arms was tired, just like Chris Paul's legs are tired now.
Ugly incident over the weekend at Yankee Stadium, and not the Yankees beating the Red Sox or anything like that, but Alex Verdugo, the Red Sox left fielder, getting hit by a ball in the outfield. Now, the fan was ejected and has been banned from all major league ballparks for life.
How you gonna do that?
Now, a lot of the fans that were in the area were saying, you know, that Verdugo had thrown the ball up in the stands toward a Red Sox fan.
To a kid, yeah.
And to a kid who was a Red Sox fan, a Yankee fan ended up getting it, and that kid was going to keep it until everybody's chanting, throw it back, and it was an accident. Whatever. Here's Aaron Boone on this situation.
Someone threw the ball and hit him at
point blank from behind. It's awful, embarrassing, unacceptable. My understanding is they did catch the guy. Hopefully he's in jail right now. It's just a bad situation. And if I was Alex Cora, I would have done the same thing as far as going out and getting his guys off the field. And there's zero place for that in this great game and in this great rivalry. You know, players should never feel like they have to worry about anything like that. So, you know, I already reached out to Alex Cora, just apologizing to Alex Verdugo that that's just a terrible, bad, sad situation. And sorry about that.
Yeah. And I'll tell you the other thing I like too is that Cora went out and got Verdugo. Mm-hmm. And if you saw Verdugo and his reactions, Cora knows he's a bit of a hothead, and he could have made that situation much worse.
Could have been a mouse in the palace.
Could have been. He could have been climbing up there. You know what I mean? Trying to get to them.
And that's one of those things, right? A projectile is like one of those things. Everybody knows it's like a funny thing. Somebody, you know, hits a home run and you kind of toss it back, but you don't throw it back. You kind of like toss it, you know, and there's so many places that you can toss the ball back in a baseball outfield that's nowhere near the actual player.
Yeah.
So everybody's trying to go viral. Everybody's trying to be like Johnny, you know, Mr. Badass and look at me, I'm super cool, all that type of stuff until they got to see that man for real. And until you put somebody in jail like that, they got to start prosecuting people like that. You know, talk about the guy that spit on, you know, in the midst of a pandemic, who knows what anybody's carrying around, and then somebody spit on Trae Young. Like, if you put him in jail, people understand that there's consequences to your actions.
And what bothers me is a lot of this stuff is happening now is we're all getting some freedom back.
Mm-hmm.
And that happened. It's pouring rain at the stadium in what, the sixth inning, something like that, a long game. I'm just saying he could have been more than a few in, whoever that guy was who did it. And it gets to the point where we're getting out of hand as fans.
Yeah.
And I understand where players are concerned about their safety.
I ain't concerned. You know what I'm saying? Just miss me when I have my reaction. Like I'm like from the Charles Barkley thing. Like, you got any regrets, Chuck? Yeah, I regret that I was on the first floor when I threw his ass out the window. You know what I'm saying? I'm telling you, like, these Karens and all this stuff going on, man, they know how to pick the right people, man.
Last one, Damian Lillard. He wants to hear the right things from Portland when it comes to moving forward. Hasn't said anything yet. Denies that he has asked for a trade, but here is what he's looking to hear.
I think the best way to put it is just to be more urgent. Be more urgent about what our next step is and how we move forward. We have a lot of pride about, you know, we've made the playoffs all these years in a row. You know, we're not a bad team. We're a winning team. You know, we're in the playoffs every year. We've got a great environment. We in a great city. You know, we have great fans. It's a lot of positives, you know, but I just think we've reached that point where it's like, okay, but it's not enough. Do we actually want to win it all? Is that what we're shooting for? And we got to do things to show that, you know, we got to, you know, put action behind that desire to win at that level. And, you know, that's been my only thing this entire time.
Is he going to be able to get the guy or hear what he needs to hear to stay in Portland this coming year?
It's going to be hard, but they're going to have to push all the chips into the middle and sacrifice their future for the present great player that they have right now, right? I'm talking about future 2024 picks and things like that, unprotected picks. They got to go all in, and it may cost them C.J. McCollum because he may be a good player, but they're just not good together. They're not enough together. They're a small backcourt together. They got to get some better firepower, a better mix. And Chauncey Billups, who's been part, I believe, of one of the best teams, not most best talent, but best teams ever, when his Bad Boy Pistons had a great mix of chemistry and guys that all had specialties.
It's Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. So does Dame Lillard hear what he needs to hear? Can Dame Lillard attract a star to join him in Portland? Or where does he end up next year? Your calls on that in moments at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Also, Monty Williams, what do the Suns have to do to actually find their way to a Game 7? You'll hear from the Phoenix coach next. It's Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Bart and Hahn.
Oh, man. Oh, this is just how Chris Paul, CP3, that's how they got to come out. That's how they got to come out. Listen, when you're on a roll and it's all things that stacked against you, it's got to be that bunker mentality, baby.
But you know what bugs me the most about it? He had that ugly, ugly, angry superstar face at the end of game 3 when they're getting embarrassed. And I'm thinking, you know what? Here he comes in game 4. Mm-hmm. He's going to put on a show. He's going to light this
up.
Well,
he did.
In game 4, no. In game 5, he got better.
Well, game 5, yeah.
Game 4 and game 3, Chris Paul was terrible. And see, Chris, you can look at it a lot of different ways. To me, they're down 3-2 because Chris Paul hasn't gotten it done.
Yeah, I mean, he has to be better in spots, right? He has to lead this team and navigate him through the choppy waters. That's what he's there for. Not that he's supposed to do it physically. He's supposed to be able to do it mentally, get him in sets, be able to get him in the right place, and not be a liability. And once again, not turn over the basketball, right? But I knew when I saw him walking down that tunnel, I knew he was going to lose because only a loser wears a jean jacket like that. That was horrible. I thought he was on Cornbread, Me and Earl or something. Like, I was like, what the hell he get that damn jacket at, man?
I didn't see that. That throwback,
it's a patty. It was a, and then he had the nerve. He must have thought it was hot fire because he wore it to the press conference. Somebody should say, you need to take that off, man. That's for losers. You should have wore a T-shirt or something.
Wait, a jean jacket doesn't fly?
No, it was a jean jacket with patches on it, man. You ever remember back in the 80s? You ever watched Soul Train? They had the patch jackets that was different jeans put together. That's what he had. He paid probably top dollar for it, too.
Yeah, that's probably not.
You know what we used to do when somebody wears stuff like that? They would come back from the showers and it'd be hanging from the roof. We'd have it from the ceiling, hanging from the ceiling. Like, man, you need to take that and burn that.
Here's Monty Williams clicheing his way to game 7.
We got to win one game to put them back on the plane. That's it. And you have to have that determination that you're willing to do whatever it takes to put them back on the plane. We can call it what we want to, mental toughness, all of that stuff. But it's going to be needed, and our guys are capable of doing it. This is our first time in this position, and we can do it.
ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Protecting your small business is a big deal. Cover what you've worked so hard for. Visit ProgressiveCommercial.com. I counted 3 in there.
Yeah, he sounds like he's a son of a reverend or something, because he sounds like Jesse Jackson out there with rhyming. Everything comes back to a rhyme at the end of it, man. So I don't know if that's enough to get him too, man. You better call Kurt Franklin and ask him to stump for him. Ask baby Jesus to get him to game 7.
We will get you prepared tomorrow for game
7. 12 pounds, 7 ounces, baby Jesus.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.